Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson, and today's show is about all the frequencies in the body, mind, and soul. Our intention today is that may all of them be harmonized based on the divine template that each of us were given. The show today is really about something that we'd like to figure out in the future, and that is every frequency in the body, mind, and soul. There is quite a bit of research that's been done that have found a good amount of these frequencies. We find, and actually quite a few other people in the sound healing field find your root soul frequency. Different people call it different things, but it's basically the central frequency that you are resonating at. There's also been research by various people to find the frequency of organs. There have been people that have done research on cadavers, in fact, to find the resonant frequency of different materials in the body. There's been research to find the frequency of bone, the frequency of tendons and muscles and all the different aspects of in the body, including blood. There's been research to find the actual frequency of different types of cells. I saw an article last year that was about the actual frequency that is very low in volume that a cell actually puts out. There are also tons of information or ideas as to the different chakras. Although here at the school we believe that your chakras are not based on the traditional system of C being the base chakra, but it's based on your root frequency. Your root frequency is your root chakra, and then it goes up from there. We'll talk about chakras more in a bit. And then there are people that have discerned what the frequencies of different etheric bodies are. There's also the frequency that we'll talk about of emotions, higher and lower types of emotions. There are also frequencies of the words that you put out, the thoughts you have, the frequency of brain waves that accompany all of this, the frequency of your intention through your will, and then the frequency of spirit that is just permeating everything. I have a woman that does treatments on me. She goes inside my body, takes out stuck energy. And I asked her once, I said, you know, what do you see in there? And she said she sees a full range of frequencies that are based on my life experience, my personality, so to speak, and everything that's gone into it. And she said that the more or the older a person is, the more complex those frequencies are in a person. And then she said there's also a God frequency in each person that she sees. And I said, oh, what's that? You know, let's vibrate people at that and we're just a done deal. And she said, no, you can't do that, Dave. People will go into a healing crisis. And they'll release all their toxins and they'll get really sick. You'll have to do it bit by bit. I think we're getting closer to the point where we can actually just resonate the God frequency, the wellness frequency. Although the overall concept is that there is a template that is you, which is a symphony of frequencies. That's made up by all the frequencies that we just mentioned. And in that symphony, there are certain musical intervals between the different parts. And for example, undoubtedly, the heart is going to be a certain musical interval above your root frequency. There's a lot of research to be done, or one main research project I would really love to do is to find each one of these frequencies and see how consistent the musical intervals are, or see where there's a consistency, because I believe, you know, as humans, we're going to have a consistency between a large part of our parts. And that consistency is basically, you know, I guess our human template. But then there will be our own template, which is us, our own harmonic structure, our structure of different frequencies that make up us, just like a fingerprint. Very unique. And then there's also the God frequency within us, the God template. Although, I would think that the God template is actually just a part of our template. It's not like it's a separate template. I mean, you know, we are God, so to speak. We are a hologram of God within every cell. So, then there's the other part within us, which are the distortions, the frequencies that we take on that are not in harmony with our own template. Of course, that's the big problem. But the new paradigm is to not focus on the distortions. In fact, I just had a meeting yesterday with a doctor that owns 7 hospitals in Texas. It's Dr. Gregory Gerber. And it was interesting because his whole thing was about taking people into energy medicine. These are like traditional hospitals. And he was saying, you know, it's nuts to focus on diseases. It's all about wellness. It's all about the perfection of our template. It's all about the light and our embodying ourselves the way we actually are. And it almost made me cry just to see that here was a doctor of 7 major hospitals in the South. in the South, in Texas. And he was totally about focusing on health, focusing on being, basically focusing on raising consciousness and being in the light. It really, really made me have hope. But he said, of course, the biggest problem are the pharmaceutical companies. They are stuck on the disease. Pharmaceuticals are only focused on the disease. And it wouldn't be such a bad problem, but the pharmaceutical companies are totally running all of the schools. There's no research that can be done in a college unless the pharmaceutical companies approve, because they fund a large part of the college research programs. In fact, almost all of it. So that's the tricky part. So, So I asked him, I said, you know, what's going to be the main focus? Is it going to be the research that brings it into the mainstream? I mean, of sound healing and all these light healing and energy healing techniques? Is it going to be research when we prove it? Or is it just going to be the fact that they work? And he said, oh, it's absolutely that they work. Because now he's even doing energy healing himself. He's got his own side practice that people come to him, and he uses a scalar wave unit, the EES system, to do energy healing on the side. And he doesn't really tell them exactly what it does. He just says, Like, well, he's got the credibility for people to come to him, but they just come to him, and he's had miracle healings. He doesn't even tell them what it does. So it's really about things just working, other than doing the research. But it's also about using the media to get all of this into the mainstream. And that's what we're doing here at the school as well. We've done a play called Compassion for Las Vegas and for other theaters. And also we've done a movie that we're working on, which is A Close Encounters 2 sequel. And so each of these should help bring it into the mainstream so that people realize that we can heal ourselves. And that's where it's all headed. Now, ultimately, what I would like to come up with is a piece of technology that can see your sound thumbprint, that can detect it and see what your God-given template is. We can get there pretty far. We can get a good amount of this information already with a lot of the feedback equipment out there. And the feedback equipment that gives you probably the closest information to this are the units like the Zyto system, Asira by G-Tech, the Nutri-Energetic systems. These systems are really looking closer at what the actual frequencies of each aspect of the system are. And they're also looking at the system as a whole, as opposed to the different components. So when we look at the musical intervals and the actual music that is going on between different parts of the body, then we can start to see how the overall symphony is playing and where the problems are. But also, again, just resonating the God-given symphony song that we're given. That's the trick. Just resonate that so that we automatically are resonated back into that state of well-being. Because, you know, if we can get back into that state of well-being and love and light and just pure perfection that we are, and we, especially if we stay there, then it's like, what's the disease? I mean, what's the issue? There's no issue because we're always there. So it's the trick is, again, to just resonate it more and more. Now, let's take a look at a little more detail at some of these frequencies that make up the body and make up the system. The body-mind, it's actually, I like to think of it as, I mean, a lot of people say body, mind, and soul, or physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But, you know, really, I think when you get down to it, it's really each of the chakras. It's your grounding, which has a lot to do with the body. It's the emotional chakra, second chakra, the power chakra, and then the heart chakra, and the throat chakra, creativity and listening, and then the third eye, and then the spiritual chakra. So, you know, when people say body, mind, and spirit, I think they're missing a little more of the detail. Of course, we can get more and more detailed always. So first of all, we've got our root soul frequency. And this is, a lot of people, including Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, but really believe that this is the key to everything. Because when you find your root soul frequency, the rest of your frequencies fall into alignment automatically. That's what he says, and I tend to believe that. I have a little hesitation on that, but I tend to believe it for the most part. Because, you know, when you find your root and you're grounded, you know, it's like the rest of the frequencies can fall into place. My intuition is that they don't necessarily always fall into place, the rest of them. But if you don't find your root, then there's no basic note to start with. and the rest of the frequencies in you can never go back to it because they're all referenced to your root. And Alice Bailey says your root soul frequency is the same from lifetime to lifetime. Who knows, but I tend to believe most of what she says through her guide. And so there's quite a few other people I've talked to that are tuned in that say that your soul frequency is carried from lifetime to lifetime. Of course, the problem with your soul frequency, root soul frequency, is we get so distracted by other frequencies around us, so we get out of touch with it. Although it's really there, it's only just a matter of peeling away other frequencies or simply just resonating that frequency. You can hear it in someone's voice. Hear it in someone's voice. Voice. There's mine. Voice. Oh. Hear it in someone's voice. When, if they're relaxed. When somebody is kind of amped or on coffee. You know, you can't, sometimes it's hard to tell where it is, what it is. But when somebody's really relaxed, and they're really, also when they're in love, when they're in love, they go right to their root frequency. Ooh, mine is B. Ooh. So it's not hard for you to find it. You know, another way to find it is to get an instrument and go up and down the chromatic scale, note by note, and just listen for what note feels the best. If you're a musician, you've probably already found certain keys that you like to play in, and that's often your root frequency. So we do different techniques at the school here to find it as well. We do voice analysis and muscle testing to find the root frequency. And it's also interesting to look for the frequency, the root frequency of other people around you, to see what their root frequency is. Also, oh my God, I really strongly believe that when people say they found their soulmate, it's really two things. I believe people's soulmates, or at least chemistry, is just that they have the same root soul frequency as yourself. Whenever I see a bee, I know it in a second. I just want to hug them. And when I hug them, it's like, whoa, it just really feels good. You know, because I can tell a bee a mile away. So, you know, I think a soulmate is someone that's in your root soul frequency. Sometimes they might be a fifth above or below, but also it's someone that you've been spending many lifetimes with as well. So you recognize them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they are someone you can live with or that you're meant to be with. In fact, often, you know, you find someone with that chemistry and that root soul frequency, and it's like, it makes you crazy because you feel like this is it. But there's so many other things that aren't working. And it does, so it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right person. So the trick is to just cherish that chemistry for what it is and not see it as necessarily that you have to be together forever. It's really nice when it all works, when you find a soulmate with the root frequency and they fit in many ways as well. So that's your root frequency. It's so important to find that because you can use crystal bowls, you can use tuning forks, you can use music in the key of your root frequency, especially music that's got a lot of bass in it that stays in that key, especially music that is more like a drone in that key the whole time. It's really good for getting you back to your center because, you know, when you really realize what your frequency is and you can get back to it, it's like the whole trick is to be able to hold that frequency whenever there's anything weird around you, when there's any weird energy of any people around you, when there's any noise around you, always go back to your root frequency. Or when your own emotions get carried away, when you get worried, when you get frustrated, when you go into fear, go back to your root frequency. And it's really a real common component of many spiritual traditions to find, it's often called your center or your grounding, your center. You find your center. I think in Zen, it's like you find your center and hold your center no matter what. That's your root frequency. Right. But what we're talking about is really a harmonic structure, or let's say a full symphony. So your root frequency would be the key that the symphony is playing in. But in the symphony, there's a lot of frequencies. In fact, it's a thousand, probably more than that, probably a thousand instrument symphony playing through your whole body. But there are certain instruments that are the main instruments in the symphony. I would say that some of those main instruments are your organs. Your heart is one of the main frequencies that is right after your root frequency. If I tune into my heart, this is what I hear. Now, my root frequency is... So, we can look at that musical interval, and the question is, wouldn't you think that that musical interval is the same for everybody? Now, there's the heart itself. Let's go into a little more detail, because there's quite a few frequencies based around the heart. There's, first of all, the chambers of the heart are a couple inches apart. Or the walls of the chambers, I guess, are a couple of inches apart inside the four chambers of the heart. It's probably about 2 inches or so from the side of each chamber to the other side. And so there's a resonant frequency within that chamber. It's like the resonant frequency of any chamber. I can find the resonant frequency of my mouth. There's also going to be a resonant frequency in each of the four chambers. They'll be a little bit detuned, because they're not all exactly the same, but they're all very close to being the same. Then there's the resonant frequency based on the size of the heart and the muscle of the heart. So there's the frequency by the actual material resonating, and that's based on how big the material is, how taut it's stretched, the muscle itself, and the thickness and the density of that material. The shape of it affects it a little bit as well, but not too much, really. That would actually create harmonics. It's more just the size of the material, the thickness, density, and how much it's stretched out, if it's taut, like a guitar string. So there's that frequency as well. Then the types of cells that are in the heart are different than other cells in the body, and they're putting out a frequency on their own. The cells within the muscles within the heart. I would assume that we're doing a lot of assuming today, because I don't know, this is the research of the future here. I assume that the frequency of the cells are really in harmony with the frequency of the muscles of the heart. I mean, my intuition would say that they're octaves. Now, what's interesting is the question would be, and of course, the chambers of the heart are going to have different frequencies based on how big the heart is. So different people have different chamber heart frequencies. There's also going to be different frequencies of the muscles, depending on how hard the how big the heart is, and then I assume the frequency of the actual cells is going to be really similar between everybody. So, depending on the size of the person, it will change other than the cell. But then there's the heart chakra. And I would think that the heart chakra is a very specific musical interval above the root frequency. In fact, I would say it's a harmonic based on the harmonic series. Although no one really talks about the heart, I mean the chakras being harmonics. It just seems like that would make sense. I mean, a lot of people talk, oh, we'll jump over to chakras here for a second. A lot of people talk about the chakras being, starting with C and going up note by note. You know, C, D, E, F, G, A, B to the crown. But, you know, that doesn't quite make sense in one respect, because if you play a C next to a D, it doesn't really sound that harmonious. And in fact, if you play all of the seven notes of a scale at once, it sounds very dissonant. It seems like the chakras should sound good when they're all played at the same time. It just makes sense. It doesn't make sense that they would sound bad when you're playing all of them at the same time, or dissonant. Now, the Chinese system starts on the root chakra is F, and they go up based on musical fifths, which makes more sense because now each of the chakras would sound good in relation to each other. You go from a C to a G and on up through the musical fifths. But the problem with that system is if you go up musical fifths from the root chakra to the crown chakra, you basically only end up going up about four octaves. So you would go from to. Whenever I think of the base chakra and the crown chakra, I think of the base chakra an octave below what I can sing. And then I think of the crown chakra as an octave above what I can sing also. I mean, it makes sense to me that the chakras should cover the full range of frequencies. And if we're looking at seven notes on a scale, we've only got one octave. If we're looking at musical fifths, we've only got four octaves. So it almost seems that the chakras should be octaves. Now, if they were harmonics, then we would just about get seven octaves. Yeah, we would get very close to seven octaves. Actually, I haven't checked. I'd have to map that one out. So, no one seems to think of chakras as harmonic. Remember, harmonics from previous shows, harmonics are mathematical multiples. So if our root frequency is 80 hertz, then the second chakra would be 160, and then 240, 320, 400. It's not doubling the frequency as in octaves, but mathematical multiples, 1 times, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. At any rate, it seems very clear that the heart chakra should be a musical interval that's really in a perfect musical interval to the root frequency, your soul frequency. So it looks like, I mean, one, it occurs to me that there is a whole body system of frequencies that are based around the size of your body. Because, you know, the larger a cavity, the lower the frequency that it's going to resonate in. So if you have, you know, a very large chest or a very large body, or a large stomach or whatever, it's going to be much lower frequency that your body is resonating. If you're bigger, you resonate the cavities mathematically. I mean, it's physically. There's no two ways about it. They resonate at a lower frequency. And if your heart's bigger, it's going to resonate at a lower frequency. If your liver is bigger, it's resonating at a lower frequency. Even the materials being bigger makes them resonate at little lower frequencies. Although it could be that the material, even though it's bigger, it's stretched more taut, making it be the same frequency. Because the frequency of a material is based on not only size, but also how taut it is. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, we will know. We will know soon. So the whole body has a frequency that it resonates in. Now, this makes me think that there is an ideal body weight, ideal body size, that corresponds to your, what should we call it, to your etheric frequencies, to your root soul frequency, to your frequency of your etheric bodies, the frequency of your chakras. So I don't think the frequency of the chakras change based on how big your body is. So there's like a physical body frequency and then a symphony, so to speak, or part of the symphony. And then there's etheric body part of the symphony. And that's interesting. It never occurred to me. We're breaking new ground here as we go. That you might actually have a body size or body weight or just body weight that would perfectly resonate. I feel fear come over people when I say that. It's like, oh, we've got the wrong body weight. No. Well, I wouldn't say it's wrong, but maybe when it is a certain size, the frequency harmonizes better. Or maybe your other bodies change based on your etheric body adjust based on your physical body. I'm just kind of rolling it over just for thought here. So there's also another major frequency component to your body, and that is your brain. Your brain puts out various brain waves based on different parts of the day and different states of mind. There's delta when you're asleep, which is 1 to 4 cycles per second. 2 cycles per second would be like wow. And then there's 4 to 7 or so, which is theta. It's like wa. And then there's alpha, which is 7 to 12, which is like wa 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 wa. And then there's beta, which we're in most of the time, which is around 12 to 20. And then there's even gamma above that, which is around 30 and above cycles per second. I can't even do that. Faster than a kitty cat purr. Kitty cats purr at 25 hertz. So they're entraining you into a very low gamma, which is interesting. So there's your brainwaves. So now the question is, how do your brainwaves synchronize with the frequency of your root and the frequency of your heart? Well, it's well known that when you're in a specific state of mind or state of consciousness, that your brain waves and your heart rate synchronize. And actually, it creates a standing wave of the blood going to your brain, which makes it so the blood flow flows really smoothly with about one-fifth of the energy that it's normally needed. So it's known that there is a synchronization between the brain waves and the heart when you're in high states of consciousness, you know, such as joy, love, appreciation, and just really nice states of emotion or states of consciousness. So I would think that at that point, your root frequency is tying into it as well, so that different people would, brain waves would vibrate at different rates, because you know, there's a range of delta and there's a range of delta and theta and alpha, and we know that different people even go change from delta to theta at different points. That's why there's so many different charts as to where delta is, where theta is, the range of delta, range of theta, and so forth. They don't correspond very much. So I would think that your brain waves would synchronize to your heart and your root. Those are the main two frequencies. Then there are the frequencies of your thoughts and your words. Which is really interesting. Do your thoughts, think about it, like on a scale of 1 to 10 or on the amount of time in your day-to-day life, what percentage of your thoughts are in harmony with yourself, with the rest of the frequencies in your body and within your etheric fields? Wow. I'm thinking, for me, probably, well, definitely less than 50%. I mean, I hope that the time when they're really in sync makes up for the rest of the time. Because, I would probably say less than 20%. Because each thought has its own frequency. And the question is that that thought creating noise or distortion that is disharmonious to the whole symphony? Or is that thought adding to the harmony? Is it just another instrument in the cosmic symphony, the body and cosmic symphony? That might be a better term. Instead of etheric symphony, we'll call it the cosmic symphony. The body symphony and the cosmic symphony. I think thoughts, of course, the thoughts, and we're also talking about emotions here that go through you, that, because, you know, most emotions come from thoughts. In fact, I would say all emotions come from thoughts. Feelings arise from within, but almost all emotions come from thoughts. Because without thought, there's no emotion. There are feelings, but not emotions. So that's interesting when you think that every emotion is a direct relation to a thought. That's why you can change your emotions if you change your thought. So the difference between thoughts and emotions that are harmonious and those that aren't are simply whether they are a consistent tone. A lot of people talk about higher frequency and lower frequency, and we've done a whole show about that. You can look at our archives, but I think it's more about a consistent tone, because love is like as consistent a tone there is. When you're in love, it just takes over your whole system, and it's just like, it's like, I mean, it's really strong. Whereas worry is like, it's an oscillation between two different energies, between a good outcome and a bad outcome. Fear is like, it's not a consistent, pure tone. Frustration is like, it's like the tone not even being sounded, only sounded halfway, constricted. But joy is like, consistent tone. So these thoughts, it's really, you know, I mean, we know when you have scattered thoughts and your mind's jumping from one thing to another, that's not a consistent tone. But when you're going logically and feeling each thought, like I'm trying to do for the most part in my radio shows, in fact, that's the energy, the core energy of the shows, of these shows, is slowly trying to make sure there's a connection that makes sense from one thought to another. And it makes sense based on reality. Not just that it's a something related to something. And that reality is a basic thing that you can feel in your body. So, thoughts that you can feel in your body. It's a good way to put it. Then there's words. Words are just thoughts manifest. But, you know, they've got more to it. Because words are not only the thoughts, they're the tone behind the words. God, you know, it just seems so clear to me in this moment. It isn't always. But it's just so clear to me in this moment that all conflict, especially in personal relationships, often has to do with that tone. Because, you know, you can say, you're wrong. I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. And people hear that tone as opposed to, what the hell are you doing? It's like, you're wrong. Or not even you're wrong. It's like, you know, I disagree with that. You know, I mean, but it's the point is, it's the tone behind it. Because you're sending, obviously, and we know this, you're sending a whole other message as well. And if that tone has respect in it, then the conflict falls away. And then if it has love in it, oh my God. Oh my God. This is there's a whole world we could go into here on words. But it's also, there's actually quite a couple of our instructors are really into using words that are not hurtful. It's like not using words like, I'm love her to death. you know, or I could just kill her. No. No, use words that, you know, are not hurtful in themselves, because they have their own frequency. And if those frequency of those words are not in harmony with your own body and cosmic symphony, they create noise in your system, which takes you away from who you are. So it's cool. This is like kind of the basics of Buddhism in a way, you know, right thought, right words, right livelihood. It's a basic concept of Buddhism. All in harmony with your own harmonic structure. Then there's your soul. We've talked about it, the root soul frequency. But think of it as not just a frequency, but think of your soul as a whole intention, a whole harmonic structure, a whole being connected to God, whole. It's like it's a component of you that is connected to God. Because people talk about getting in touch with your soul, and how often when you get in touch with your soul, it really screws up your day-to-day life, because, you know, makes you want to quit your job, makes you want to stop certain relationships. It can really throw you into a crisis in a way, in the short term. But when you follow your soul, then it's like you're following your heart. Or there's also the other aspect of your higher self, which I would say is part of your soul. So there's a very deep frequency, and there's a whole concept of connecting to the soul through the, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's the Antahkarana, I believe, Antahkarana, or Antahkarana. It's building a bridge to your soul. So, then there's spirit in you. Spirit is, I think of spirit as the enlivening frequency. It's the frequency that brings life to you. It's the energy going through you. It's the light that lights up all of the cells. It's very high frequency. In fact, it must be a full range of frequencies, because it seems to light up all frequencies. It resonates all frequencies. I would think spirit, I always think of it as like really high. I feel it coming down the back of my neck into my spine from above. Let me open the channel. See if you can feel it when I do it. It's chills. Chills coming in the back of my top of my head, back of my neck, into my spine. Chills. God, we're going to figure out one day. If anybody finds any research on chills, let me know. It would be like the best thing. It's like I've never seen anything about chills. I mean, there must be a full range of different types of chills that go on. I mean, I feel them in my head. I feel them in different parts of my body. Sometimes they go all the way down to my feet, into the earth. just a full range of chills. Sometimes they just are just huge waves. And, you know, it used to be, like years ago, somebody said, oh, the Maitreya is doing a meditation. And if you meditate at this hour, you'll get this download of divine love. And I remember going down to a lake and sitting by the lake and meditating and getting, for 5 minutes, I remember I got these chills just pouring in, chills, goosebumps. I get chills all the time now. I think that's what's happening with this new energy that's going on. There's so many more chills. And, you know, it's like, is that spirit? Of course, it's all spirit, the energy coming in. But, God, what are chills? It's just a form of spirit, different frequencies of spirit coming in. We should figure this one out. It'd be a cool research project. I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to play a CD or have a meditation or have an electronic device that automatically gives you certain types of chills. And then you could just turn them all on and get all the chills at once. I mean, let's go for it. Just look at it from the chill perspective. So there's spirit, and whatever frequency it is, it's like, you know, there, it's like a flowing frequency that flows in, it feels like, is spirit. It just comes flowing in. So, one day, we will be able to do tests to find every one of these frequencies. We're about halfway there. There's a system called the REBA, R-E-B-A, that detects the amount of, I don't know if it detects the frequency of chakras, but it detects the amount of energy in each chakra. It's an electronic device. And I know there are other devices out there that also pick up chakras. And again, I don't know if they're frequencies, but it's really, it's, and then, you know, Alice Bailey said that when we find the material, we discover the material that makes up the etheric body around us, our auras, that's when healing will go into a whole nother level, at least the science of it, because then we'll be able to go to the 80% of the world that doesn't believe in energy healing, maybe it's less now, and show them and prove to them, although there's a lot of proof going on out there now these days. I heard on a radio show just last week, there was a guy who is one of the top pollsters. He does all the polls for everything, for politics, for a wide range of things. And he said that 40% of the people now believe that spiritual goals are the highest value in their life. 32% of the people in the United States, this is, believe that money and, you know, a house in the suburbs is the highest goal. That's pretty major. We've tipped the scale. So, ultimately, I believe even using voice analysis and equipment that can pick up these etheric fields, because we already have equipment that can pick up the resonant frequency of, you know, the body, and there are techniques that we actually teach at the Institute here to find the resonant frequency of each organ. So it's just a matter of getting the equipment to find all the frequencies, and then look for the consistencies between people, and then look for your individual template. But here is a technique that you might be able to do if you really are able to tune in, or not if you're really able to tune in, when you really tune in. You can hear it, this template of all the frequencies. If you're still enough, either you can hear it or you'll get a download as to what it is. It's the code of creation that you were born with. And it's not far away, it's you. So it's not like you have to go very far to get it. You just have to be quiet enough to get back to it. May you be in that code of creation within you, that body and cosmic symphony, the rest of the evening, the rest of the weekend, the rest of the week ahead, months ahead, years ahead, and lifetimes ahead. See you in 2 weeks.